Welcome back to Backstage, where we talk about what's going on behind the scenes and share our knowledge to help you start a podcast of your own. My name is Mike Hurley, and I am joined by Relay FM co-founder Stephen Hackett. Hello, Stephen Hackett.
Hello, Relay FM co-founder Michael Hurley.
Oh, look at that. So official around here today. It must be that time of the year. What's going on at Relay FM?
It's snowing here.
So that's not a thing that's happening to everyone. It's happening to you, which is fine. But it's not happening to everybody.
It's the co-founder blizzard.
Okay.
That sounds like co-founders are just falling from the sky.
It also just sounds like Blizzard, the games company.
Or the ice cream.
I'm sure they have co-founders. Is that a thing? Blizzard ice cream?
A Dairy Queen is like ice cream with candy mixed into it.
You ever had one of those?
When I could eat dairy, yes.
What is it, like an off-brand McFlurry?
I would say McFlurry's an off-brand Blizzard.
Well, what came first?
I'm sure the Blizzard.
Are you sure about that?
This is not ingenious, so I'm not positive, but...
Dairy Queen Blizzard. So what Wikipedia has to say. Popular... This is just the Dairy Queen. Since its introduction in 1985...
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's no way that the McFlurry was before 1985. So you're right.
So what's going on at Relay FM?
Well, I asked you.
Oh,
you
that's
started
right.
Talking about blizzards.
Yes, we have some really exciting news. If you are in the Relay FM members Discord,
which you should be,
go get in there. It's awesome.
Get in there.
We have named Kathy Campbell our community manager, which is really exciting. So Kathy has been working with us behind the scenes on a bunch of administrative stuff now for a year, maybe? Time is utterly meaningless.
I think longer than that.
Some amount of time.
Yeah, for a period of time.
For a period of time that is known, but not known to me right now. But as we launched the Discord and as we've done some stuff internally with the network... Kathy has been really involved in a lot of that stuff.
March 2019.
Oh. Almost 2 years. I just skipped over a whole year.
What do you know, huh?
Look, let's all skip over 2020.
Yep, that's how that works. 1 year only.
Sorry, Kathy. It's been a wonderful 2 years with you. So she's been involved a lot in this kind of community building stuff, and we wanted to make that more official and really have Kathy be involved with a lot more of our decision-making process. And you're going to see some of the fruits of that from the network side actually very soon.
Yeah, this is inside and outside. So
yes,
inside Relay FM as a company working with the very talented large group of people we have, and also outside when it looks at things like the Discord and stuff like that. This is a new thing, and we're looking to kind of evolve what Kathy and her responsibilities will be. But it felt like a really good starting point for a role that is becoming more and more important in our company.
So today we wanted to circle back and catch some recording editing questions that we either didn't get to or that have been asked since those episodes of Backstage. And we promise next month we're moving on past recording and editing, but this is a big topic, and I think in some ways it's the most daunting topic when you talk about wanting to create a podcast. You know, the recording editing can be very technical. I think a lot of people don't have a lot of experience with it, and so we wanted to make sure we spend enough time on it. So we have just a handful of questions we wanted to touch on this month.
Yeah, because... You know, and I assume that we'll probably do these every now and again where we do mop up episodes, and I'm sure there'll be other recording and editing questions that pop into those later on. But as you said, these are big enough topics that, one, we didn't actually get to all of the questions for both of these, and also since we've recorded those episodes, we've had other people sending questions, which don't forget you can do at any time just by tweeting hashtag AskBackstage or using #AskBackstage anywhere in the Relay FM members Discord, and you can always send in questions for that. So we'll start today with Tony, and this is very... very of the now. Tony says, how does your recording workflow differ with Zoom versus Skype?
So I'm new to this. You're new to this, but Jason's been doing it a long time. And so I think both of us just asked Jason what we should do.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to pass that along. So in Zoom, it obviously has the ability to record meetings. And mm-hmm. if you go into Zoom's settings, there's a bunch of settings you can adjust. The one that I think is absolutely critical, of course, is to record a separate audio file for each participant. So this mm-hmm. way you have what you had in Ecamm call recorders. And so the reason we're talking about this, I should back up. Ecamm call recorder is the tool that we use with Skype to record local audio and remote audio at the same time, and it's in sync. Ecamm has said they're not going to update that for Apple Silicon Macs. And so even if you're on an Intel Mac, it's the end of the road, it feels like, and neither of us want to continue to rely on a tool that is clearly at the end of its life. So that's why we're looking at Zoom. Zoom is ubiquitous and in many ways much easier than Skype because you can just send somebody a link. They probably already have Zoom installed. They don't need a separate account, right?
They can use a web browser.
Yeah, you just click the link and you're in. Yeah. So you want to make sure in your Zoom settings to have record a separate audio file for each participant. So if we're on Zoom has a copy of my audio, a copy of Mike's audio, and a copy of Federico's audio, all as separate files.
Yeah, and if you're using this as a backup for yourself, which is what, you know, kind of what we do, we record in two places, and I will always have the Zoom one as my backup, make sure that you're doing local recordings and not cloud recordings.
That's right.
Local recording will give you the audio of your local microphone. If it's cloud recording, it's how the Zoom server hears you is what will be recorded. You know, we're both very new at this. I'm currently only recording upgrade this way as I'm getting used to it. And I think similarly to you, I think you're recording Liftoff this way mm-hmm. right now because we're both, Jason's been doing this with some of his shows for a long time for good reason because he has larger panel shows. And that idea of having local recordings of everyone, that is something that Ecamm could not do. Ecamm would just give you, if you had five people on the call, you'll get one audio file. But the good thing about Zoom is you would get five audio files. And, mm-hmm. and that can be really helpful if you have some kind of catastrophic issue that you need to deal with in editing.
That's right.
You know, again, as we said before, you want everyone to record locally because it's always best and you take all the local tracks. But, you know, life finds a way. And sometimes that way is to destroy your audio and it will happen. So it's good in that respect. But mm-hmm. It is a new, quite significant change to my workflow, to our workflows. You know, Skype and Call Recorder have been tools that I have used for over 10 years. So, you know, I'm getting used to them. Right? Like now I'm using Audio Hijack as my main recording and the Zoom one as my backup, and it was flipped. I used to use Call Recorder as my main, Audio Hijack as my backup. So just getting used to that and making sure I have all the settings the way that I want them and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just something that we're adjusting to. But ultimately, you know, you might say, like, why are you doing this? Like, me and Steven are both recording on non-Intel Macs and probably will for a while. As soon as, you know, I think we look at this the same way. As soon as you know kind of the writing's on the wall for something, start making your moves as soon as possible so you don't get eventually caught out. Like if in 3 months' time Apple releases the Dream iMac, or maybe like next month even releases like Dream iMac, I don't want to be like, I don't want to get that computer and set it up and then realize I can't record on it. So,
yeah.
You know.
And I mean, I'm going to use this Intel Mac Pro for some time, but
we'll see.
But I'm also worried that what if Apple does something to break Call Recorder or Skype breaks Call Recorder? Like, Ecamm didn't promise they're going to keep it running on Intel, even. All they said was it's not coming to Apple Silicon. So
I think they actually did adjust that to say that they would support it for a period. After it got a bit
that's good
known, they made a lot of adjustments to their statement.
Yeah. But, you know, I also record on my notebook some, and I have an M1 MacBook Pro, and I want the tools to be the same everywhere. So, that's what we're doing. The editing still looks the same. We're still taking everyone's local audio they recorded themselves and editing that together. But Zoom actually makes it easier for guests, and the backups are actually better because, like you said, you have a track for everybody. So I am very optimistic about this change. And I'm actually pretty excited about it. I think it's going to be good.
All right. This is a big question from T-Cell. This is purely directed at you because I don't have experience in this. I'm going to be joining an existing podcast as an alternate host with the potential to take over in the future. One of the current hosts had been weekly on the show, then they went to monthly, and they may continue monthly, but it's not definite. And I'm hoping to earn the trust of the other hosts to take over completely in the near future. Do you have any tips for me as I make my mark on this podcast replacing a previous host?
It's not the easiest thing in the world. So I did this with Mac Power Users. Katie had to step away due to some changes in her life. And she had been on the show with David for 9 years, I think, at that point, 8 or 9 years. And so that's a lot of history.
We've already established that you could be 1 year off in any direction.
That's true. A long time. I took over on episode, it was in the 400s. So, I mean, they had been well established. It is tough because people have expectations of what the show's going to be. But the advice that I would give you is don't try to be the other host. Right. They've asked you because you're you and you have your experience and your point of view and your voice. So don't put that on the shelf and try to take on the voice and point of view of who isn't there. They asked you for a reason. And it took me a little while to kind of work that out on MPU. And, you know, you get different. I think the same thing is for you. You get different parts of us on different shows, right? So I'm much more serious on Mac Power Users than I am on, say, Connected or Ungenius or even this. But it's still me. Like, I still think the same way and my opinions all line up. And so that's really the advice I would give you is be who you are because they asked you. And don't lose sight of that.
But also to build on what you said just there is be yourself, but be the version of yourself that is appropriate for that environment, right? Like that's kind of what you're saying. I just wanted to kind of run that out. Like,
yeah.
Don't be somebody else. Don't try and be somebody else. But if the show is a serious show, don't walk in with a clown nose on, you know, like understand the environment that you're in and be the version of yourself that best fits that environment.
The other thing I would say is you're going to learn how they do things like show prep and you know, all of that other stuff. And I would say, you know, fit into their system in terms of behind the scenes stuff. I have slowly changed the way we do a lot of behind the scenes stuff at Mac Power Users, but I didn't come in and burn things down. I wanted to respect the way David had worked for a long time and then slowly make changes. And now we're at a place where I think we both feel comfortable. So there may be things that you may do differently and you can bring those up if you want to, but just be mindful of the way other people have worked and some things you may just need to do their way for a little while, if that makes sense.
TM Trains asked, what is the biggest editing effort you have made for a silly gag?
I mean, have you heard the Connected ASMR member special?
It's all a gag.
It's all a gag.
You know, that was a big effort on everyone's part. I couldn't think of like the most effort, but when we were originally asked this question, I had just gone through a silly amount of effort for a Rickroll joke on Cortex.
Nice.
Where I made the joke, but when I listened to it back, I wasn't enunciating clearly enough that I felt like it would land. So I re-recorded the dialogue and put it in the show again. So people would definitely catch the hidden Rickroll before I then played the opening of Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. So
that's good.
These are the efforts we need to go through sometimes.
That's right.
Now you can listen back and know that I did it, but nobody knew.
I didn't know.
No, how would you know?
Because you're good.
That's it. That's me. I'm good. I do know how to re-record audio. I will tell you right now, it's an incredibly difficult thing to do. Really hard to do and to do right. But if you spend enough time and you're used to your voice, as long as nothing physically has changed, environment, microphone, maybe you were sick or whatever, it is possible to re-record yourself without people noticing, but it's really, really, really not easy to do.
Max asks, what is the biggest difference between your editing styles?
We have big differences.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go too far down this metaphor, but editing is almost like religion.
Oh.
Where people have their own like views on that stuff, all this stuff, and they really believe them, and they think that people doing other things just doesn't make any sense to them. you know, I could talk to every time I talk to an editor, I am just flabbergasted by the way that they work, the way that they work. And like one of the big ones for the two of us is you do not rely on a sync track.
That's right.
And I think that that is unbelievably reckless. but that's, you know, that's,
oh,
that's
save
you.
My editing soul, Mike.
I just think it's really reckless because I know I have gotten into situations where I've accidentally moved something and then trying to fix that can be a nightmare. Plus, I don't have to spend a ton of time making sure everything's lined up properly, especially as it goes through the episode, because I can visually see it's lined up and I can hear how it's misaligned when it eventually does get misaligned. Even with alignment tools, there still is a bit of misalignment. You got to fix that. So everybody edits very, very differently. I don't think that there is a biggest difference. Just know that the fundamentals might be similar, but the practicality is super different.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can imagine, you know, if you watched me edit, especially when I do that right to left edit, I look like a wild person.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make any sense. I'm doing it all wrong. Plus, I use a Wacom tablet, which I'm sure is also really weird to see me edit. It's one of the main reasons like people asked about, because you obviously got a lot of great feedback about your editing video, which was great and very, very helpful for people to see what we were talking about. And the thing is, for me, for you to see how I edit, I would also have to film me mm-hmm. because I do things in such a weird way that I just think it's helpful. So maybe one day I'll do
arms
it.
Going everywhere, jumping up and down.
Oh, it's a whole big show, you know, fireworks.
Wow.
Sam asks, how much time do you spend adjusting signal processing on long running shows? How long did it take to dial it in on specific shows? I imagine shows with the same cast of japes delivered every week with the same equipment, there's not a lot that needs to be done.
I mean, I think the biggest issue I've ever had is someone's gain is way off, so the track they send me is really, really quiet. I've had that problem with various people over the years. But as far as like, so I think this question has a hidden question inside of it. If I can go,
ooh.
If I can pick Sam's question apart a little bit. I'm afraid what Sam is asking is, are you doing sorts of compressor or noise gate stuff to the recording itself?
And I think equalizing too.
And equalizing. Do not do any of that to your recording. Do all of that in post. Don't touch your recording in that way because you can't undo it.
I don't do any of it in post either. I don't do anything.
I know. I do a little bit.
The most I do is sometimes I give people a little bit more bass of an equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the very, very bass. Most that I will do.
Drop the bass.
And that can be like if somebody's recording somewhere different, like the room might be a little bit more open, so they mm-hmm. sound a little bit like more hollow, I guess. And I might add a bit of bass in. But I don't do anything. I mean, one of the reasons I don't have to do anything is because what Sam is saying, everybody that I record with is in stable environments.
Right.
But I also just, you know, I don't know how much it adds, especially the equalizing stuff. But maybe I've just got the wrong ears, you know?
We could replace them.
Can you?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
So, yeah, don't do any of that while you're recording. Everyone being in the same place with the same equipment really helps. And having good equipment, right? So I know that everybody I record with has high-quality stuff. And so I'm going to get a really consistent, good-sounding track each week. And that means, like, on Connected, for instance, because it's the example in the question, I know what I need to do to Federico every week. I take a little low end off Federico because he's very deep and bassy as a vocal performer. Mm-hmm. And so I roll that back a little bit and I compress all of us a little bit. But it means that I just have that in my Logic template for Connected. And I can tweak it from there. When you have guests, obviously it's a real challenge and you may need to do a lot more, you know, noise cancellation, more compression, EQ stuff. You know, if someone isn't used to this and they record with crummy equipment or in a bad environment, you just got to do what you can do. But yeah, on a show that is consistent every week, it's a dream. It really is.
Tony asks, do you have any advice for getting into editing podcasts for other people?
I don't know. I mean, I've never done this. We use an editor. We use Jim. mm-hmm. for a lot of our stuff.
How'd you find Jim?
I found Jim because he was editing other people's stuff already. So it doesn't
that we knew.
Help Tony at all. But the reason we went with Jim is because he had been hired by people we know and trust. Mm-hmm. And I had heard things he had edited and was happy with them. Mm-hmm. And so as far as going from zero to one, it's probably similar. You know, have your own work that you can show people as an example and have that experience. You know, on Mac Power Users in particular, we do a lot of guest interviews, and some of that audio is a train wreck. And like, we do what we can in advance and like try to coach the people, but sometimes it's just not great. And it's amazing what Jim can do. Jim's better than I am at cleaning up audio.
Jim's going to be happy when you guys switch to Zoom.
Yes. Yes, he will be. And which is probably coming soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, have that experience, have your own portfolio, and, you know, maybe you can start with people you know. You know, maybe you've got friends or somebody else that you know with a show and offer to help them out and see where it goes. Yeah. I think it's a hard thing. It was really hard for me to give the MPU edit up, even though I know Jim and he had been editing for Relay for quite a while when I gave him Mac Power Users to edit. It was still hard because like I liked doing it. I liked the control that it gave me, but
you gotta let it go, right? As well, like Jim is a fantastic editor and he edits things for me, but he doesn't edit them how I would.
Yeah.
And I just had to learn to let that go. We're into a separate question now, but like it just got to a point where I was like, Jim edits Jim's way and mm-hmm. I edit my way and they're not the same, but people who are good at it can do it in a way that you're also happy with. But I still am like, that isn't how I would do this.
Yeah.
And it's the same for you. It would be the same for me if I was editing something of yours. Like it's, you know, everyone's different. But to piggyback on what you were saying, people tend to not like the thing I'm about to say, but I think you got to do it. You got to work for free for some people because you've got to get the experience and you've got to get into a community of some description, right? I think, there are certain types of work where you have to build your skills and a portfolio. And most podcasts that are small don't have the money to pay someone to edit for them. So maybe you have some friends or you're in a community of people and they're producing this stuff already and they're looking for an editor, or you could approach them and say like, hey, I would like to do this. Or you could also as well start with your own project. But it takes a while to get into it, and you have to be able to prove to people you can do this kind of thing. So if you have a friend that you could do a favor for and work with them and collaborate on a project, it's going to help you when you're trying to show your skills to other people.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Zach asks, when you're doing a full listen through edit, do you edit while listening at 1x speed or faster?
1x. My brain can't work any faster than that.
I've done faster, you know, like 1.2, 1.5. But I've only ever done that in emergency situations. And I don't like it because it ruins the flow and you miss things. So it means I don't get as good a result. I know that Gray does this with Cortex because he's not editing as strongly. Like, he just needs to listen through to the thing and make sure that it works. And the reason I know this is because sometimes the logic file that I get back from him is set to over more than 1x speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if I would do the same. If I was listening to something that somebody else has edited and I need to get it done in a certain period of time, I would crank it to 1.5 and just listen through, because you're just giving an ear to it at that point. But if I'm doing a full listen through edit, I mean, that's when I'm being the most precise, and that's going to remove my precision.
Winter asks, do you have any tips for speeding up editing?
No.
Practice. That's the only thing.
And that takes time, which then you kind of lose any of the time that you've gained because you've had to put more time in. I don't really know how to do it.
I had some comments on that backstage video that I did last month.
Yeah.
And I'll put the link in the show notes for this month too if you haven't seen it. People were commenting that I spotted problems before the playhead got there. And it's like, yeah, that's because I've been doing it for years. And I know
I can see ums.
Yep.
You know, I can see them. Once you, into it and you're getting experience and you know it, you cut down things in your workflow, like in the tools that you use and how you use them. Some of that stuff becomes second nature. Maybe you bring some automation into the process. And then you end up, you know, like you end up finding things. But the thing is, like, I know for me, as I'm getting better, I'm also able to do more. So what, I'm getting faster at some things, but I tackle bigger challenges. Like, I don't think that I know I'm not saving a lot of time in my edits, because as I become a better editor over time, I'm able to fix things that I wouldn't have otherwise been able to fix. So I spend time on those. This is never going to be a process, if you want to do it properly, where you're trying to shave every second off. It just isn't that. It just isn't, unfortunately.
Zach asked, talking about the demo episode, which we spoke about a couple months ago, how much do you edit a demo episode? The answer is, it should be as close to what you want to put out as you can.
And Jonathan asked about backup recordings. Mm-hmm. So obviously we mentioned Core Recorder and Zoom and all that kind of stuff earlier. But, you know, these are just one backup option, or like one recording option. And we both like to have multiple recording options, so we have backups. So like for right now we're using Skype today, and I have Core Recorder and Audio Hijack running. And when I record on Zoom, I have Zoom's recording and Audio Hijack running. But if you're using a Mac, every Mac has QuickTime. You can use QuickTime. Make sure you set the settings properly in the audio recording thing. You have tools like Audacity, which are free as well. There are lots of options. Make sure you're doing them. I really like to have at least one that records automatically, which is why I always love Core Recorder, and it's why I like the Zoom recording too. Because if you have a backup and it does it without you needing to do anything, it's the best kind of backup. Because it's not relying on you to remember it.
Yeah, it's almost not a backup if it requires you to hit the button.
Yeah, because then you've got to, I don't know, remind yourself or something. Mm-hmm. I that doesn't work for me. So that's one of the reasons why Zoom was such an obvious choice, because it had this functionality built into it.
Yeah.
All right, I think that covers it for now. I think we hit pretty much all of them. Next time, we're going to talk about file hosting and kind of where to put your podcast, like how to put it online, that kind of stuff. So if you have questions about that, kind of where to host your audio and where your podcast should be hosted from like a website perspective and that kind of stuff, and the things that you need to think about when it comes to putting together a website for your podcast, make sure you send those into us. Hashtag Ask Backstage or ? Ask Backstage in the Relay FM members Discord, and hashtag Ask Backstage on Twitter. If you'd like to send in a longer question, you can email them to backstage@relay.fm. So until next time, when we ask you to come backstage with us, I'm Mike Hurley and he's Stephen Hackett. Say goodbye, Stephen.
Bye, y'all.